We started a new series last Sunday, From Covington to Eternity, talking about eternity and the impact and power of that word, and really that understanding that eternity is so vast. It's so big. Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, where we began last Sunday, he's made everything beautiful in its time, and he has set eternity in the human heart. What does that mean? That means there is a longing inside of you and I. There is a curiosity inside of us. There is a want to know and to understand how God is working and how God is moving and how eternity is going to make sense to us. And each of us were created to need God. It's really important, because sometimes people will say, you know what, no, I'm self-sufficient, I'm good, I got this, and you know, I don't need anybody, I just need my dog that keeps me company, I just need my vehicle to ride, I don't need anything else. But it may take longer for some to admit or for some to submit to it, but it's still true. Every single one of us need God. In fact, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 2 and 6, that he had raised us up together. God has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We were created to have better understanding of these things, created to sit in heavenly places, created to spend eternity with him. Let me say it in real plain English today. I'll never be more comfortable in the club than I am in the church. I'll never be satisfied living a life of worry when I could be living a life of worship. I was made to sit in heavenly places. That's why you'll get in an atmosphere like this, and though it may be new to you, though it may be completely different from the tradition perhaps you were raised in, there is something comforting and there's something settling and there's something just soothing about this atmosphere. Maybe you've never lifted your hands before in worship. Maybe you've never clapped your hands when they were singing that particular beat, but there's something inside of you that starts moving and you just feel it. Why? Because you were made to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, I made you to sit together. Who are we gonna sit with? It's one of the questions I have. I wanna make sure that my table in heaven is full. I want to make sure that my family is at my table. I want to make sure that loved ones are at my table. I've got friends. I want them to be at the table. I eat often by myself, grabbing lunch or whatever is happening if I'm traveling. And I've walked into many, many restaurants around the country and said, just a table for one. But I'm not going to do that when I get to heaven. It's not going to be a table for one. It's going to be everyone whom I've invited, everyone I've brought with me, everyone I've loved well. We're going to sit together in heavenly places. Come on, we've had enough lonely here. We want to be at a table full of people when we get to heaven. Yeah. And so Paul continues to teach this massive subject called eternity. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17, 18, and 19. These are powerful verses. I want you to underline them or highlight them in your Bible. Make note of them. He said, command those who are rich in this present world. Why would he specify this present world, because there is a world that is to come. Why would he say the present world? Because there is something else. So command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them, verse 18, to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Verse 19, in this way, because they've done this, in other words, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. Again, he's speaking about something that is beyond here. He's speaking about something that is beyond now. He's talking about something that is still to come, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. The life that is truly life. You see Jesus teaching this, really the entire New Testament is teaching this, using heaven, using eternity with the Lord as motivation for all of the things that we do. The reason we're serving, the reason we're giving, the reason that we are faithful, because we know that we are going to spend eternity somewhere. I know the days seem long. I know life seems to last a long time, but eternity is much, much longer. Eternity is forever. And I said last Sunday, this is a very difficult subject to teach, because it's hard for you and I to grasp. It's hard for you and I to really appreciate how long eternity is, or that there's something beyond the here and the now, because all I can think about is the here and the now. All I can worry about is what I've got right here on my plate. I prayed with someone just a few moments ago that's having surgery tomorrow. There's anxiety, there's stress, there's, you know, all of the details that go in with surgery, and that's all they can think about. I'm preaching about eternity and they're thinking about anesthesiology. You know, I'm preaching about forever and they're thinking, I just want to wake up. You know, I just want to get through this. I just want to get through the recovery. It's hard for us to think about eternity when we're dealing with all of the things that are happening in life. But I need you to hear me today. There is more to life than this life. There is more to life than this life. I understand we're focused on the right now pressures of life. We're focused on the kids. We're focused on the grades. We're worried about the bills. We're thinking about the spouse. We've got health conditions and concerns. But guess what? There is more to this life than this life. It was Drake, the rapper, not the theologian. Drake, the rapper, in 2011 that came out with this YOLO. Anyone ever heard of YOLO? YOLO means you only live once. And it caught cultural fire. I mean, everybody was saying it. All of a sudden, YOLO was the excuse to try anything. Hey, I want to jump out of an airplane. Really? I have no desire to jump out of an airplane. Hey, YOLO. You only live once. I mean, you got to try it. You got to do something reckless. You've got to do something a little bit crazy. You got to get outside of yourself, because you only live once. It caught such cultural fire that it was literally added to the dictionary in 2016, and it became this dare. It became this reason to try just about anything. But as popular as YOLO may be, it's not true. I know you've made millions and millions and millions of dollars on the phrase, Drake, but it's not true. YOLT is true. You only live twice. You don't live just once, you live twice. We're going to live in eternity. YOLO is an excuse for reckless behavior, but it's much more reckless to ignore the life that is to come. And so, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 27 says that just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. So it's appointed to man once to die, if you want King James English, or it's destined for man to die once. And then after that, what do you mean after that? What do you mean after? I mean, I'm living this life just as fast as I can. I'm involved in so many things. I'm concerned and connected to so many things. I want to live this life to the fullest, and I encourage you to live your life to the fullest. Don't dare just sit in a chair somewhere waiting to die. Don't dare just sit back and say, well, I'm just waiting, you know, for one of the diseases of the day, or one of the crisis of the culture to come and take me out. No, I'm gonna live my life, and then after that is coming the judgment. I know it's a sad thought. I know it's morbid, not something we like to talk about, but it's true. We're all going to die. Every single one of us. How many feel like you've cheated death maybe once or twice? Keep cheating death. Cheat it as many times as you possibly can. But it's inevitable. At some point, all of us are going to die. Maybe you've made statements like, I saw my life flash before my eyes. I just knew that was it. I knew it was over. Yes, it's coming eventually. And then what? Huh? What do you mean then what? At the end, it's just the end. It's over. I go to sleep and that's that. No. He said everyone's going to die, and then after that death experience is going to come the judgment. What are these judgments that Paul is teaching about? First, there is the white throne judgment. Just get into a little theology with you today so that you understand your Bible, the white throne judgment. After we die, everyone is going to get their day in court, so to speak. Everyone is going to have their opportunity to give an account for their life. And we really don't know what this is going to look like, or exactly what this is going to be like, because none of us have experienced it yet, and we're just doing our best to put a picture together, an understanding from the scripture. But from our best understanding, ultimately we're going to answer one question: what did you do with Jesus? That's the question we're going to be answering at the white throne judgment. What did you do with Jesus when you were in that Sunday service on March 17th, 2024, and you heard the gospel and you had an opportunity to choose Jesus or the world? When you had the opportunity to say yes or no, what did you do with Jesus? Did you run the debts back up that he paid off? I know it's hard to wrap our minds around all of this, but this is what comes after we die, the afterlife. Then, after we die, then. And then there is yet another judgment. This judgment is not determining heaven or hell. That first judgment is determining where you're going to spend eternity. But the second judgment is known as the judgment seat of Christ. This is a second judgment. I don't know exactly how long it's going to take to get to this, or how all of this is going to play out. The scriptures, much of it allegorical, and how we understand and interpret what is being taught to us and told to us. But in this judgment, This is going to determine what heaven will be like for us. This is when Jesus will give out the rewards for the way that we lived our lives. This has to do with how we live now, the first life. Let me give you a Bible, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. I know that's heavy wording, but it's true. We're going to be judged according to how we live our lives. And this is about how rewarding heaven will be for us. Jesus talked about this as well. Matthew 16 and 27, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. He's going to reward us. He's going to pay us back because God will not be in debt to anyone. You know, the worst bill collector is your own kids. As soon as you wake up in the morning, you got my $4? I gave you a dollar the other day because you were short. You got my dollar? They'll just collect on you and just threaten arrest. But God will not, he will not be in debt to anyone. So whether you serve in the cafe or whether you mow the grass, the grass looks so good. Mr. Julius mowed grass all this last week, and guess what? We need help mowing grass. So if anybody wants a little reward on their account, if anyone wants to make sure that Jesus sees something that you've done, see Mr. Julius, see Mr. Brian Chandler, see Nikki, see, we'd love to get you on the team and get you helping mow grass. If you teach in church kids, oh my Lord, we need help in church kids. If you're interested in teaching, if you're interested in serving, all of those things are going to be rewarded. If you sweep a floor, can I tell you that God pays good. He blesses us. He provides for us. And then we're going to answer that question, what did you do with your life? What did you do with your life? What will your answer be? What do you want your answer to be? What did you do with your life? Revelation 22 and 12. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. So when I consider this life and the life that is to come, because you and I are not living once, but we are actually going to live twice. We're going to have whatever life we have here, whether that is 87 years or 91 years or 74 years, whatever it is that we have right here, there is going to be a life that has no limitation and has no old age and has no disease and has no end. It is eternity with Jesus, but he wants to know, how are we living right now? So I want to give you some eternity principles today because they're important. Understanding eternity. I know it's a big subject. I know it's not as exciting to hear teaching about eternity because I just want to know how to get through the next 30 days. I just want to know how to solve the current crisis that I'm in. But eternity has everything to do with how I respond to the crisis that I'm in. So this is important because eternity is forever. But here's the first eternity principle. The first principle is I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. And I feel this so strong for people in this room who are going through something, for people online today that are going through something, you're dealing with something. I know life is temporary, but can I just tell someone that your situation is temporary as well? I know life is temporary, but the struggle you find yourselves in, that is temporary just the same. I travel a lot. Ministry takes me all over the country, and I'm in hotels a number of nights throughout the year. And when I'm in a hotel, I know that I'm only there temporarily. It may just be a night. It may just be two nights. So I never fully unpack because I know I'm not staying. I'm just passing through. It's temporary. What would happen if we would live this life with a go bag? What would happen if we would live this life with an understanding that we're only just passing through? We're not here forever. So whatever I do, I've got to make sure that my life, that this life is correlating to the next life. I got to make sure that the investments I'm making in this life, there's going to be a return in the next life. The good I'm doing in this life is going to benefit me in the next life. Because if we get stuck in this life, if we have no eternal view, if we have no eternal perspective, Paul tells us what happens in Philippians 3:18 through 20. He said, "For as I have often told you before now, I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame." He said, in other words, you live for the moment. You go around saying YOLO, you only live once. And so I'm gonna do whatever I wanna do, and I'm gonna feel whatever I wanna feel, and I'm gonna engage in whatever I wanna engage, and I just live reckless, and it's all about the moment. And he said, their mind is set on earthly things. But you need to remember verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we're talking about immigration status and people coming across a border, and whether they have a document or whether they don't. Listen, all of us at this point are immigrants because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I've got to keep a bag ready. I've got to keep luggage called eternity, saying, you know what? I got to make sure that I'm continuing to pack what I need, continuing to do what I need to do, continuing to respond to life in the way that I need to respond, because I'm just passing through. And this is a challenge. I need to say this because this is important. This is a challenge for those who are really enjoying life. And I've had those thoughts. I honestly have had those thoughts. Lord, I'm having so much fun raising my kids, and I love my job, and I love my purpose. I love getting to do what I get to do. And so if you wanna wait, Lord, I'm really enjoying this. I enjoy coming home every night. I'm just enjoying this life that I have. And I believe that's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to get this life set up so that we enjoy it and we have fun, and it puts a smile on our face and it puts gladness in our heart. But I also don't want the enemy to use that to trick me, to lull me to sleep, to the point that I just live life on autopilot and I'm not thinking about the life that is to come. I want to keep an eternal perspective. I want to keep eternity in view. I want to keep these principles alive in my heart. And this is what happens for people that keep an eternal perspective. Hebrews 11:14 from the Message translation. People who live this way, people who live with eternity in view, they make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back anytime they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. For who? For the people that wake up every day and say, Lord, I'm gonna live life to the fullest today. I'm gonna live life with a smile. I'm gonna live life in positivity and not negativity. I'm gonna love my kids. I'm gonna be the best employee at the company. I'm gonna live life to the fullest. I'm gonna have fun. I'm gonna make a difference for those around me. But Lord, I'm thinking all day long, Lord, hey, this is not all there is to life. There is something yet on the way. There is something yet to come. It is going to inform the things that I do today. What is going to be is going to inform what I do today. And I'm going to make sure that every investment I make today is an investment into my eternity. Because if there are only two options when it comes to eternity, there or there, I'm going to make sure that I end up there. I don't know, Pastor Darrell, maybe we need to talk about, you know, purgatory, or maybe we need to talk about, you know, these second chances, or maybe we need to talk about, you know, these multiple options. I've read this Bible cover to cover multiple times. I cannot find multiple options. It's eternity with Jesus or eternity without Jesus. Pastor Darrell, that's too strong. I know. But I'm not going to apologize for preaching the whole truth, because I must be saved. You and I must be saved. I want to live with eternity in view. Here's the second eternity principle. The first one I'm just passing through. The second is my time on earth is short. My time on earth is short. And I hear somebody arguing with me. You feel like your life is dragging on. I have met people, I've stood at the bedside of great, wonderful saints that feel like they've lived all the life they could live, and their body is no longer cooperating, and they're just saying, you know what, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And I've said to many of them, if you're ready to go, then we're going to pray for Jesus to take you, if that's what you truly want. And I've seen it happen. I've stood at their bedside as they drew their last breath with a smile on their face, because they were seeing Jesus and encountering what they had lived their lives for. My time on earth is short. Somebody may feel like their life is dragging on, and I get it, health and challenges and lost loved ones, that has a lot to do with feeling that way. But in the light of eternity, this life is the blink of an eye. Compared to eternity, this life happens so fast. And that's why it's hard for you to grasp this. It's hard to teach this, because we don't fully appreciate just how long eternity is and how long it will take and what it will mean. It's just hard to conceptualize, but that's what James said in 4 and 14. What is your life? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You ever seen a mist? I did it this morning. I had a steamer on my shirt. I didn't do very good because there's still wrinkles, but I was pushing the button and the steam would come out, and it would only last for a second. And I hadn't quite figured out how to work this thing yet. I don't know if I'm supposed to just hold the button down and just whoosh, 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 or if I'm just supposed to touch it and then release it and let the steam, but it goes away so fast. And he said, that's what life is. Life happens that fast. No, it's dragging on. I mean, the days are long, the years are short. It's just dragging on. My kids, you know, I mean, I don't know. Life is challenging. Here's what I've learned. Anything you think you have a lot of, you tend to squander. But what you have little of, you hold dear. and your value. And so David said, teach us, Psalm 90 and 12, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. What are we learning? We're learning time is short. The young haven't yet grasped this, but the old are hearing me in this room. It's short. Here's the last eternity principle. First of all, I'm just passing through. Life on earth is short, but finally, I need to make the most of every opportunity. If I'm going to live with an eternal perspective, if I'm going to live with an eternity mindset, I got to recognize that I have an opportunity and I need to make the most of every opportunity. This life is a test. The life we're living right now, that you and I are living, it is a test. I took a test last week, just last week. I took a real test. There were 10 questions on the test. I got 2 of them wrong and 80. And I was just furious. I was mad. I've got an 80? What in the world? This is trash. What is going on here? Legit, I was mad. I'm better than an 80. I knew this material. They tried to trick me, you know, all of the things. I'm just yelling at the computer. And then I looked down at the screen, and it told me the 2 I got wrong. This is the 2 that you missed. And then in the fine print, you have unlimited chances to take this test. So guess what? I looked at the 2 I got wrong. I went back and started at question 1, and I got 100. No ribbons? No, all right. I got to be honest with you, because this is a hard truth. There will be no retakes in eternity. There will be no, Lord, no, wait, I didn't know it was happening. Today, I didn't know today was the day. I didn't know it was going to happen today. Give me just a minute. Give me just a minute. Let me run back. Let me have a do-over. Let me try that again. Let me live that day. Let me live it again. Because I promise you, I'll choose different. I'll decide different. I'll live different. But there are no retakes in eternity. So I have to make the most of every opportunity, because I won't get another opportunity there. It's what he said in Ephesians 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So I go back to that question. What did you do with your life? That's what he's going to ask us. So let me make that present tense. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing? What's it about? What truly matters? What is most important? I guarantee you, if we could schedule eternity, if I told you, listen, y'all, I got the hookup. I got insider information. Jesus is going to return for his church Tuesday at 4:13 in the afternoon. Some of y'all would not leave church between now and 4:13 Tuesday. Every pizza, no, we'd fast. We'd probably fast those 2 days. We'd want to make extra sure. It doesn't work that way. So I got to wake up today and say, I don't know if he's coming today, but I'm going to live like he's coming today. I don't know if it's happening this week, but I'm going to make sure that my life lines up